Hello everyone and welcome in to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Today you're listening to a unique conversation featuring Stephen Curry himself. Stephen Curry hopped on a live Zoom call with all of the Team Curry players, coaches, and staff to have some Q&A and talk about his basketball journey. Today you're only going to be listening to 30 minutes of the conversation. If you would like to listen to the full hour-long conversation, please go to www.psbplus.com. Again, that's www.psbplus.com to start your 30-day free trial and watch and listen to the full conversation. But as of for now, we hope you enjoy the conversation and we hope you hop on PSB Plus. Have a great day.
There he is.
What's up? Right.
I was told you were going to be a few minutes late, man. So glad you could join us.
Appreciate y'all having me. I want to say what's up to everybody. I guess we have a lot of people, so introductions might be a little tough. But yeah, I want to interrupt your intro. I just appreciate everybody. One, believing in Team Curry. Two, joining the call to kind of share what everybody's up to, send encouragement to everybody. I know this is crazy times in basketballs, in a lot of different fashions been taken away, but it's bigger than that. And so hopefully we can still be productive, still find ways to encourage each other, still find ways to support our families and even just better ourselves through this whole process, and then get back running when things return back to normal. But appreciate everybody believing in what we're trying to build here. It's a pretty awesome opportunity, from leadership to the coaches to the players, all the way down. Just understand how big of an opportunity this is to better ourselves, better our games, hopefully create opportunities at the next level. So I'm excited about this. About this venture, timing is crazy, just in terms of what we're dealing with right now. But we'll be back to it sooner than later, and off and running. So just appreciate everybody believing what Team Curry is going to be, in the near future and beyond.
Yeah, thanks, Steph. Appreciate that, man. And what are you up to these days with the layoff and just kind of playing the waiting game? How are you staying in shape? What are you doing? And just give us the rundown.
Yeah, it's been different. For me, this whole year has been crazy just because of my injury. From a basketball perspective, I only played four games before I broke my hand, and then spent 4 months, rehabbing, trying to finish the season on the court, finish strong, build momentum for next year. And I only got to play one game before, things, shut down. So, from that perspective, this has been the most difficult year in terms of just the process of trying to get healthy. And that's actually prepared me in some way, shape, or form for what this kind of period is, because, you got to find ways to stay, engaged mentally and physically. And so right now it's, I got a little spin bike that I do every day, got some weights at the house. And then outside of that, I just put up a basketball goal outside like 4 or 5 days ago. So brings me back to my roots of, blacktop, just getting it in how you can. I got some pavers. My ball handling is going to be nice when I get back. So,
nice already.
Even nicer. Long story short, it's just about finding unique, creative ways to challenge yourself. The hard part for, I know everybody's in the same boat. We don't know when things will, get back to normal and we'll be able to get back to the court. So it's kind of that waiting game is tough, because I've always been able to work with a timeline in mind of how I can build up my intensity, build up like a program that gets me ready for, when I need to be in prime shape. So right now it's just operation don't get out of shape, and just try to challenge yourself every day, whatever that is. And from there, hopefully as things develop, I'll be able to put a plan together for when, the NBA season gets back in full speed, or looking forward to next year if they cancel it. So it's a little waiting game right now.
Yeah. Are the Warriors doing any sort of like workouts or anything like that? Or, you know, are you guys doing meetings or, you know, how are you guys staying in communication?
When the season canceled, we had our team meeting to kind of just set the table for what this break was going to mean.
We didn't have a team meeting.
Challenge everybody to stay in shape. Our strength and conditioning staff sent out like a first part weekly workout schedule that we can follow. Honestly, a lot of that's for the younger guys who this is a different kind of, you know, experience where they're not in the gym every day. They're not, you know, with their strength coaches in person. You got to be able to set that foundation. For me, I'm 11 years in, so I kind of know, you know, how my body responds to certain workouts and how to kind of adjust. But it's always nice to have a template. And so it'd be interesting. Actually, I might send it to you so everybody can see exactly what, you know, a week looks like. For us, you know, 4 days a week, it's a two-a-day conditioning cardio type of session. If you can find a treadmill or a bike or just go outside and run. And then there's like some body weight workouts in there. And then from a basketball perspective, it's just if I find a gym or find a hoop, I get shots up, you know, just however you can get as many reps up as possible. It's just about, you know, getting the ball in your hand and keeping your rhythm as best you can. It's really hard to simulate any type of game experience for a lot of us, you know, myself included, with you know, the facilities and just the setup that's available. But you can still break it down to work on your skill set, whether it's just straight ball handling, passing off a wall, all that type of stuff. Just got to get creative. I think we all can find ways to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, anything you send over, we will pass along to these players, and I'm sure they'd love to take part. We had Brandon Payne on a webinar last week. I think, have you been doing any sort of virtual workouts with him at all, or any other trainers?
Not yet. That's part of, for me, this first, you know, month is closing on a month being away. Once we know exactly when, you know, there's a suggested time to be back on the court, then I can kind of, you know, game plan from there. Right now, it's all just working on my body and making sure, you know, keep my cardio up, keep my strength up, you know, breaking down. We have some drills we do with just, you know, plyometrics, foot speed stuff that we all need once basketball gets going, so that we have, you know, proper, you know, injury prevention and stuff like that. So I'm 11 years in, like I said, I've been through every type of situation and workout, so I have a good foundation and base. But, you know, it's a good vibe if you have somebody that you can reach out to. B Payne, obviously, I'm sure he talked about it. You know what you need, and you have to find those avenues to kind of tap into. There's people that can guide you, challenge you, shock the body every once in a while, and just you know, keep that consistency. Because at the end of the day, if you're doing something every day and you're going hard at it while you're doing it, whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's 2 hours, whatever it is, like that's the point. You can't use this as an excuse to take your foot off the gas pedal. It's just a different type of challenge that we're all kind of going through.
Yeah. What about in terms of non-basketball off? I mean, I guess everything's off the court now, but just from a non-basketball perspective, how are you trying to use this time? I mean, I've seen you on Instagram do a few things. Obviously, you had the Instagram live Q&A with Dr. Fauci, and you're doing some worship type things. I'm sure you're doing a bunch of other things. What are you up to non-basketball wise?
I think it's there's three different things I've been focusing on. You hit on two of them, but this time of break and just pause is giving me a fresh perspective on just what's really important in my personal life and things that yeah, I can really lean into from a time perspective. I got three kids, so that's I know all the coaches who have, you know, kids and parents, that's a whole other challenge in terms of not being able to go, you know, places and their routine being disrupted as well. But from using my platform to obviously educate people on what is happening with, you know, the virus and making sure people understand how, you know, incredibly important it is for us to be doing exactly what we're all doing right now, which is, you know, social distancing and making sure we all have a part in, you know, ending the disease as fast as possible. That's step number one. So, like you said, the interview with Dr. Fauci, you know, trying to, you know, share as many facts about the situation as possible, and even celebrate the people that, you know, are in the line of fire on a daily, you know, with the healthcare system and nurses and doctors that, you know, are sacrificing and risking their lives to, you know, take care of people that are dealing with the disease and their families. So that was first and foremost. Second thing, like you said, my faith obviously is a huge part of who I am and my ability to, you know, do what I do, you know, in life and on the court every single day. So we have this thing, me and my wife, called Home and Hallelujah that we did 2 weeks ago. We're going to do later tonight, I think 8 o'clock Eastern. And it's like just a live IG session where we can praise and worship, have a lot of special guests come on, sing songs, give a word. So that platform's huge and very important for me because, you know, I've never really had the ability to do that. Me and my wife are trying to lean into that and take advantage of the time that we have. And then the last part is just even situations like this where there's so many different interests I have off the court and things that we're trying to build from a business perspective. Team Curry, obviously this is our first year. Things that I'm doing from, you know, our underrated tour that we're doing across the country. Things that I'm trying to build, you know, through Under Armour that will help build, you know, grassroots basketball across the country. I have a strong team around me that helps, you know, on a day-to-day with what that is. But now I get a chance to lean into those conversations and those, you know, part of that process in terms of how we're going to come out of this, you know, even stronger and more purposeful about everything that we're doing. And so I know we all have certain interests in life and just, you know, we're finding ways to you know, invest in ourselves, I guess, and find that opportunity to, you know, just lean into things that was the busyness of life before all this happened. That was the excuse. Like, oh, I just don't have time because I got to go do this, got to go do that. You got to look yourself in the mirror and really understand, you know, what if it's important to you, you got time now to do it. So we should come out of this, you know, changed and stronger.
Yeah, I did I read correctly that that you are teaching your what, second grade?
I'm a second grade teacher. I got a 3-star rating from Riley the other day, so I need to up my game on that front. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I gotta get the server the feedback sheet or something. She gotta let me know where I'm falling short so I can get better. She's on spring break right now, from which is weird because we're not going anywhere. So yeah, I got a couple more days to get right before we get back to class on Monday.
Yeah. Hey, I want to open it up for questions right now from the players, but hold on. Don't everyone just go unmute yourself right now. This is how we're going to do it. We were at first going to use a reaction down at the bottom, but instead I think what we'll do, because we have 80 people on, in the chat, type your question and then I'll call on you and you can unmute yourself and read the question. I won't read the question for you. So go ahead. If you have a question, you can use that chat function at the bottom. You should see it. It's right near the middle. If you drag your mouse down, type your question in and, we can start taking some questions. Or maybe Steph, you could even,
well, yeah, all hands on deck. If you see, yeah, I like your process better. I don't want that responsibility right now. I just want to answer. Yeah. What up, Kelvin? I didn't say what's up, man. Yeah, you mute, but I know what's up, Doc.
What's good with you?
Can't talk, man.
All right. Any coaches? Coaches, you got any questions you want to type in? Wait, I'll call on someone first to ask a question. Hey, right. Keegan Goodrum, I see you. Keegan is the son of our Charlotte director. I know you got a question, Keegan. Come on. Unmute yourself, Chris. Can you unmute yourself? I got you.
I see him right there.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Can you say hi?
Hi.
Can you say hello?
Hi.
Tell him ball. You love to ball all the time?
Yeah. Are you in Star Shock right now?
Yeah. You don't want to tell them who's on your wall in your room?
You got a big fat head in there? Or is it just
a whole body stuff. The whole man.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
You.
Steph.
What's good? Who said that?
It's me. It's Book. I changed the beard up.
I was about to say I ain't recognize you.
Yeah, how you doing out there?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm looking forward to my daughter playing for your team.
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate you you committing. Yeah.
Stephen, we're starting to get some questions. So if you want to, can you see those questions?
I'm gonna read them off while I'm looking. Go ahead.
Sammy Ackles is the first one. Sammy, do you want to unmute yourself and ask that question?
Yeah. So, what is some advice you would give to us all as young athletes aspiring to make it to the college level and possibly professionally?
That's a great question. I know, in terms of, you know, where you're at right now, you've invested a lot in your game. You've put so many hours in, and just know that that work is only going to continue to get, you know, harder, more strenuous, more challenging as you go. So embracing that, and not being afraid to, you know, just challenge yourself, finding, you know, the best competition, every opportunity that you can, reaching out to people that know the game and that you have access to just lean into, to kind of give you that, you know, the kind of direction on whether skill work, whether it's how your mental works on the court, you know, working within the concept of a team. That's huge. I think the biggest thing, though, is just understanding who you are as a player and what you need to work on. You know, identifying your weaknesses is the hardest thing for any of us to admit to, and what you know need to really, really grind and work on to, you know, make yourself the most well-rounded player that you can be. And as you kind of get into the college search, you know, it's a fun, stressful, overwhelming process all the way around. But being true on, you know, setting a list of, like, you know, what's important to you on the next level. Thinking about my experience, like, I always wanted to play at the best, you know, ACC, you know, high D1 level school. And when I got to my junior year, it started to kind of materialize that, you know, there are people that were overlooking me and not thinking that I was worth that type of scholarship. That didn't kill my drive or my hunger at all. All it did was kind of just reshape exactly, you know, what was important in terms of, you know, that college experience for me and what school was right for me. And, you know, that just reshaped my thought process around that. You know, you got to just be real with yourself and have that circle around you that's going to keep it real with you and for you, and so that you can make the best decision possible. But right now it's just grinding, understanding what your weaknesses are and trying to work on those every single opportunity that you can.
Thanks. Diamond Monroe, you want to unmute yourself and ask your question?
Yeah. Hi.
Diamond, how you doing?
Good. What ball handling workouts do you do to improve your left hand?
I got a lot of them. A lot of the stuff is just the two ball stuff that you work on hand speed, ball control with both hands so that your mind's kind of overloaded. I think that just consistency on a daily basis, just trying to get creative and challenge yourself within that concept. There's so many different things you can do, just stationary, on the move. The one that's evolved recently is working on, you know, left-handed, you know, combination moves and whatnot, and using that to then drill how you pick the ball up and that transfer from the ground into the shot pocket.
Right.
And how you can then change that into dribble speed combos that you can we all teach from the middles, like obviously two-hand passes, but being able to pick that ball up off the ground and be able to pass it in all different directions as well. So that, you know, in a game, you know, if you're making split decisions, you know you got control of the ball, dribbling with your left, but then how are you able to turn that into a play, you know, a playmaking kind of situation? Like, are you going to be able to pick it up off the ground, get into your shot pocket and get your shot release off, you know, as fast as possible and in rhythm? Are you going to be able to hit that open, you know, open person, you know, cutting on the backside without having to worry about where that ball is and really work on that muscle memory? So even at home right now, if you got a wall and a basketball, any type of combination move, finish with your left, get into your shot pocket, or any combination move, get it, be able to take it from here, see where you want to throw it, all different type of passes from that, you know, that position. And that'll start to get your hand speed right so that in the game it just becomes more natural. And so, yeah, that's the best thing you can kind of do right now, keeping it simple.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Right now is a perfect time to work on that weak hand stuff. You barely do anything but some ball handling. Hey, Maya McCorkle, great question. Can you unmute yourself and go ahead and ask?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? My question is, what direction do you think the professional women's basketball game is going to, like, dealing with, you know, the popularity and stuff like that?
This is a very pivotal time. I think I'm not as well versed on, like, how the actual CBA that they just put into action is written, but the main points around, you know, the increase in earning potential for each player on average, trying to get more dollars into the, you know, the marketing the game and increasing, you know, their exposure. We know the WNBA season over the summer months, it has its own lane, but it always hasn't been front and center from a basketball perspective. And I think that's continuing to change and get better every single year. And so I think it starts at the grassroots level for, you know, those professional women that have amazing stories to tell and, you know, have amazing journeys around how they got to that point, that those stories need to be told way more, you know, as an impact to, you know, the younger girls that are trying to get into the game and understand that there's an end goal to this. And I think, you know, we all know what sports and what basketball teaches us, but that journey to, like, I want to aspire to be a professional women's basketball player, that story needs to be told a lot more. And so I think it's getting better. There's a lot, obviously, a room for improvement and making sure that opportunity is equal across the board all the way up into the professional level. There's so many things that we're trying to do to you know, address that. And so hopefully everybody's leaning in. I know even from a Team Curry perspective, like, just the way that we want to represent the men's and women's game, that speaks volumes to how important, you know, growing the game from a women's perspective is. And you know, I'm excited about, you know, celebrating the women's game as best I can. And again, you know, telling or sharing the stories of those impactful women that make it to the pros that can then, you know, reach back down to where we all started and say, you know, this could be you.
Thank you for answering my question.
No doubt. Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, Steph, we got a special Iffy. Your turn, man. This is one of Andrew Lovedale's A2S kids, man.
There we go.
That's on Team Curry. So special connection right there. Go ahead, Iffy.
Hello. My name is Iffy. Well, my question is, what do you do, like, before every game to prepare yourself mentally, just to make sure your head's in the game? Like, you know, like, what do you do to make you feel the game before every game, just to get your head in the game?
Absolutely. Two things. One is try to find whatever your pregame routine is, from, you know, what you eat, what you listen to, turning off social media distractions. Like, there's got to be a trigger for, like, it's game time, whether that's an hour before, 2 hours before, whatever it is, you got to find what's comfortable for you, something that you can repeat over and over and over again to prepare your mind to be, you know, sharp and alert and prepared, but also just calm, because there's so many things going on in our busy lives. Like, you got to be able to turn that off, you know, the best way you can to get ready to go play. So finding that routine and that consistent routine that you can do every single game is big. For me, I try to eat one of the same pregame meals at the same time before a game, because I know how my body is going to respond. I got an hour-long playlist that I try to listen to every game that gets me in the right frame of mind, whether that's, you know, whatever music, you know, it's going to stimulate you in that way. And even all the way how I put my uniform on to how I warm up to things that I tell myself, like rehearsed lines that I do to motivate myself, I have a consistent pattern that I've developed over time. And so you got to think about that. And then two, I try to just take a 5-minute period and visualize myself on the court doing what I want to do. So sizing up who my opponent is. If I know going into the game, I got to guard Chris Paul, like, I know what his tendencies are, and I envision myself like watching him do what he's going to do, me defending him and how he's going to defend me. I go through those reps in my head. It doesn't have to be long. It's just a moment to kind of just sit, close your eyes, envision that 94 feet or 84 feet and see yourself doing what you want to do, so that when you get out there, you've already been in the game, you know, before the ball even tips. So, those two things, just got to be consistent with it.
Thank you.
No doubt.
Next question, Sam Walters. Go ahead, man. Unmute yourself and ask away.
Steph, what's up?
What's happening?
So I got a playoff question. What's one of your favorite highlights for like the playoffs, the finals?
Well, that's a good question. Probably 2015 finals game 5 at home, obviously against Cleveland. It was a fourth quarter. I hit a shot over Matthew Dellavedova on like the right wing. Mm-hmm. And that was like, obviously we're chasing our first championship. And that was like one of those kind of momentum plays where it's 2-2. Tied in the series, and we needed to win that game to go to Cleveland, try to finish it out. And we had never been there before, never experienced, you know, that type of, you know, environment. And hitting that shot and kind of, I think we went up like 8 at the time and kind of sealed the game. It was a good feeling though. We were going, you know, up 3-2 going back to Cleveland. I don't know if it jumps to people's front of minds, but that was like the best feeling of like, all right, we're in control of this series now. Like, yeah. let's go back.
You said you were up by 8 when you made that?
Either I hit it to go up 8 or somewhere around that stretch where it was like, you know, 3-4 minutes left in the fourth, and, you know, we're trying to close it out at home. So first time experiencing those type of things for me are always the most memorable.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Thank you, Steph.
Yes, sir. Anything but 2016 was memorable.
Layla Wall, go ahead, unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hey, Steph.
How you doing?
Good. But my question is, what were some challenges you faced as a small point guard in your early years?
Just the physicality of the game, whether it was high school, college, or the pros, I was always the late bloomer. So that was always the biggest adjustment, you know, the speed and the physicality of the game, especially as a point guard where, people fall in love with how I shoot the ball, but there's so many other things that you have to do from that position to get your teammates involved or, you know, get in the lane and be able to make plays. And so, like the most specific example is, I always struggled when I got into the paint and the defense collapsed and there's, you know, 4 or 5 bodies around, being able to like pick the ball up and make that pass to either corner, because I just wasn't strong enough to take the hit, be able to, you know, get the ball up and make an on-time, on-target pass. And so like no matter how much attention I drew, it never would make a difference because I couldn't get the ball to where I wanted it to go. And so, like, just getting comfortable, you know, and at my size, obviously working on my strength. I'm not going to be like the biggest, bulkiest dude, but I can still be, you know, have my core strong so that I can take a hit, get the ball where I need to go, and you know, take advantage of the attention that I would get because I could shoot the ball. So, not being afraid of, you know, being the trees, like as a small guard, you can't be overwhelmed by that. It might take you a minute to figure it out, but you'll get there.
Thank you.
No doubt.
AJ Allen Spock, ask your question. I think this question is very, very applicable to the position that all the players are in now. So go ahead, AJ.
Hey, Steph.
What's going on?
I said a quick question about like your college selection process.
Yeah.
What did you look for in a college, and what made you land on Davidson?
Well, the top two things, like 1A, 1B, were the coach first and foremost, because you know you're entrusting, you know, yourself, your future to somebody that you want to be able to trust, and you want them to be able to tell it to you straight. Like, you want an honest, trustworthy coach that is going to challenge you. And so for me, like, it was between Davidson, Winthrop, and Virginia Commonwealth. And so Coach Bob McKillop, who's still at Davidson, obviously B went, you know, he probably speak volumes on how amazing of a coach he is and how amazing of a person he is. Jeff Capel was at Virginia Commonwealth at the time. And who's the coach? Oh, Greg Marshall was at Winthrop, who's at used to be at Wichita State. But like three solid coaches that had a pretty solid track record. And I knew that, you know, they were going to give it to me straight with him. If I was messing up, if I was playing well, they were going to keep it real and challenge me and try to, you know, get the most out of my game. And so Coach McKillop, he checked off that list. And then the second part for me was, you know, looking at the opportunity to get on the floor. And that was not as clear. And over the, I guess across the board, that's the one that's not it's a hard one to kind of, you know, assess, because at Davidson, when I was looking at the school, we had seven seniors that were graduating before I got on campus. You know, B. Wentz's class was leaving, and so I knew I'd have to earn it. I knew I had to go in there and work my butt off to go, you know, get the Coach McKillop's trust to put me on the floor. But I knew that there was an opportunity at the same time, and you know, things change from year to year, and you got to be, you know, all right with that in a sense, because there's certain things that you can't control. But I just wanted to be on the floor and be able to learn, you know, through playing. And, you know, Davidson gave me a great opportunity to do that, you know, straight out the gate. So I knew where I had the confidence, like maybe the stubbornness to say, no matter where I went, I knew I'd try to, you know, make the best of the situation and prove that I was a difference maker. But I think those two things for me made me feel the most comfortable about picking a school and believing that it was the right, you know, spot for me, no matter if it was, you know, close to home, away from home, all those other things. But that was just from my perspective. You have to find, you know, weigh all the things that are priorities for you, for your family, in that decision too. And we all are in different situations. So, you know, just be real about it.
Yeah, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation. If you would like to hear the full conversation, again, please go to www.psbplus.com. That's psbplus.com. You can start a free 30-day trial, and you can go listen and watch the rest of this Stephen Curry Q&A with Team Curry. We hope to see you over on PSB Plus. Come do some workouts with us. We'll see you soon.